Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's be seated. Throughout the scriptures, there's always been this tension between these opposites between night and day, between darkness and light. We see it already there in Genesis. In the beginning, there was that deep darkness that covered the earth, and into that darkness broke the wonderful light of God's creation. And God has been sending his life-giving light into that darkness ever since, until finally, in the last chapter of Scripture, we are given a glimpse into heaven. And there we are told there will be no more darkness and no more night, because Christ himself will provide all of the light needed. But that's heaven. We're not there yet. And that means darkness is still with us. It means darkness is still a very present reality. It was there in Isaiah's time as well. The morals of the people had plummeted. God had been pushed out of their lives and out of their homes. They'd forsaken him, and I'm sure many of the faithful thought that he had forsaken them as well. And it doesn't sound all that different from today, does it? Meanwhile, some have called this an age of enlightenment and progress. The truth is, we're not so far ahead of our Old Testament counterparts. Now, granted, if we're going to measure enlightenment by the strides of science and technology, perhaps we've come a long way. But there's another reality. The darkness of this world is pretty stubborn stuff. And while we might be able to push it back, it's always there, lurking just around the corner, always waiting to move back in, always waiting to overpower the light. Some problems just don't seem to go away. We still live as though God didn't matter. We're still killing each other. We still hate our neighbor. We still live as though self is the only thing in this world that counts. And we could list 100 ways that this darkness invades our lives, but it still all boils down to that one word that we have most in common with the people of Isaiah's day, and that's sin. Isaiah put it this way, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people." And it's true. It's true for us in 2008. It's true in our community that we live in. It's true in our family. Sin has invaded each and every one of our homes. And if we're aware of that, if we realize that, our first reaction should be, "Lord, have mercy." There's got to be a way out. And he does have mercy. And there is a way out. And that's the glorious good news of Christmas. That's why the shepherds knelt at the manger. That's why Simeon sang at the temple. And that's why the wise men worshiped the young child in Mary's arms. Light had come. Their fumbling, their struggling and searching in the darkness had come to an end. The light that was capable of kicking out the darkness once and for all had come, and they were witnesses. But that search is still going on today. People are still looking for that light that will bring comfort and security and guidance and hope and peace. And the message of Epiphany is that there is good news. Through the Spirit, Isaiah prophesied, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Simeon sang it, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles." St. John proclaimed it, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Jesus Christ is the light that breaks into this dark world of ours, into this dark world of sin. And in him, people saw things that they had never seen before. They saw things about God and about themselves that had remained hidden. In his light, we see ourselves as we really are, fallen creatures, steeped in sin. But that's not all. In his light, we see that we are forgiven. In his light, we see that we are favored children of God. In his light, we see that we are redeemed and restored and renewed. And on a dark Good Friday, even as the sun was blotted out of the sky, this light, Jesus Christ, conquered the darkness of sin once and for all. And now you are the light of the world. That's not my conclusion. It has nothing to do with my judgment of you. Rather, it has everything to do with what he says. And Jesus Christ says in his Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Now understand, this light is not something that we generate ourselves. Rather, we shine with a borrowed light. Our light is a light that we have received and that we reflect when we reflect the very light of Jesus Christ. And we do so even as we come into his real presence through his word as it is proclaimed here. We do so through his holy scriptures, which proclaim freedom and the forgiveness of sins. We are welcomed into his real presence through his holy bath of baptism, and fed in his presence through his holy supper, and forgiven by his holy absolution. And it is with this borrowed light, then, that we can reflect the light of Christ in a sin-darkened world. And so it is good and right that we give thanks for light, for the light of a star that led the wise men to Jesus, that he might be revealed to the nations, for the light of Christ that dispels the gloom and the darkness, and for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And now this true light calls you to reflect that light in this world. And that means that we get to poke holes into this dark world. That means that we get to be beacons showing others the way. That means that we get to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and bring praise to our Father in heaven. Arise and shine. Your light has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.